Everybody got a paper? I give you a new paper tonight. I don't know that we'll ever get that far tonight, but we'll make sure you have one. If anybody did not get a paper tonight, hold your hand up, and we'll get somebody to take care of you. If you did not get a paper tonight, Cheryl Ann needs one. Somebody get her one. And all right. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. All right. All right. Well, the Lord has been good to us. We know that. And we have so many people around the world, around the country, need your prayers. I think of all the desolation, flooding, deaths, people missing. I can't even imagine how people feel. Cannot. And but I am glad that God's grace is still sufficient for every need. He's sufficient for every need. All right? Let's go to prayer. Father, we come this evening and ask you, Lord, to speak to our heart. May the word of God be opened up unto us and let it cleanse us, the washing of water by the word. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me where I fail you. I know that I fail. Lord, I want to do better. I want to do more. I want to be stronger. Lord, I want to be able to resist more. Lord, if I can draw closer to you, I can resist easier. Lord, I pray tonight that not only will I get in your word, but Lord, I pray your word gets in me. And Lord, I'm asking for a change, not just a challenge, but a change that I can be as you want me to be this evening. Speak to every heart. May you get all the glory and may the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct us just now. And I will thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Now we looked the last week, we started out on that, and we seen all the preeminence of Christ in all chapter 1 and chapter 2 about the church and salvation and redemption. But now we're looking at the preeminence of Christ in our life and how he is supposed to be shown forth first place. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we turn ourselves over to him and submit to him. And there is a doing part. Now, I want everybody to listen carefully. To be saved, we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is no works involved in getting saved. We even read Sunday morning in the message that to do the work of the Lord is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on him who God has sent. That would be the only work we do is believe, okay? That is to be saved. But after we get saved, then there are work that is required, or there is a doing part because of salvation, not in order to, but because of salvation. And that's when the things that we learn, the things we are becoming, we apply it and it shows forth. Christ is supposed to be shown in my life, through my life, because he is my life. Now, if I was going to pick a verse that would be the theme verse, all right, for chapter 3, I want us to look at chapter 3, verse 4, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, and I think this might complete it all if we look at when Christ, who is our life, all right, now this is encouragement and glory in here. You know, when he shall, who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But I want us to make sure we understand who is our, when Christ, who is our life. And I don't want us, as I've tried to encourage you, I don't want you to forget. Listen, you can't live by yourself in your own strength for the Lord. You ain't got enough in you. You can't do it. We've got to have the Lord. And we've got to have the Lord in everything. He's not in some things, but he is our life. When Christ, who is our life. Everybody understand? When Christ, who is our life. Now, let's say this together. And we, instead of who is our life, let's say my life. When Christ, who is my life. Now, we've got to really understand that and take heed to that. Now, if we look, we tried to show you some action verbs there a little bit last week. In chapter 3, verse 1 talks about seeking. That's something we have to do, have to desire to look for. Verse 2, we need to set. That's something that, again, we have to do. These are things that God is not going to do for us. Now, God saves us, justifies us, sanctifies, sets us apart. He forgives us. He does all that, puts us in His family. He baptizes us with His Holy Spirit, puts us into one body. All right, that's all what the Lord does. Then He tells us that we are to seek those things which are above. Then we're to set our affections on things above. All right. And then verse 5, we started there. We looked at, then we are to mortify, another action verb. We are to kill off. We are to die to self. And we looked there in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. All right, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dying. Paul says to die daily. Even though Paul said he was a wretch, and that's what we are at our best. We've not attained, okay, but we have a new life. And I don't want you to be so down on yourself if you fail or if you sin or you make a mistake that you need to understand without Christ, you can't do anything, okay? But He does enable us to do what He said. And He has given us that power because He come inside. And we have Christ in us, hope of glory. Does everybody understand that? So since Christ is in me, I can live the way He says to live. And I can seek those things which are above. I can set my affections on things which are above. And then I can mortify my members, okay? I can start that. Now, when we looked at that last week here in verse 5, and we're not going to go back over it all, but we noticed that there in verse 5, to kill off that, the first four sins there, or the first four things it's mentioned are actually sexual sins. And if we look around today, we can see that very plainly. Of all the things, and but can I tell you, it was like that in Bible days too. You take the city of Corinth was a wicked place. The city of Ephesus was a wicked place. When you have in the temples prostitution and homosexuality and all these things in religious programs and religious rituals and all that was going on in the temples, and then people start getting saved. So Paul is reminding them to mortify their bodies. They got a new life and they're going to have to set these things in order. Does everybody understand? That's why that's written there, because of what the people have been through. But look at what is promoted in our society today, the same way, and always has been, okay? But it seemed more prevalent today, openly, on TV programs, radio programs, commercials, golf matches, basketball games, football games, baseball games, any kind of sports, it's all there. Commercials, in the music industry, it don't matter what kind of music it is, even in today's so-called Christian music, it is, the dress is ungodly, sensual, not spiritual. All these things. So this is why Paul says then, writing to the church of Colossae, to mortify therefore your members. Okay, we got fornication, sexual sins, uncleanness, anything that defiles, inordinate affection, that's depraved desires, evil concupiscence, that's abnormally strong sexual desires, or where you've been wrongly stirred. And then it says in covetous, which is idolatry. And that becomes then greed and seeking satisfaction through lust and desires. And these sexual sins bring that alive in us to seek things we shouldn't seek. All right, and become greedy and these things, which then become our God. And if we're not careful, we go back to what Romans 1 says, that Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said that they worship the creature instead of the creator. And that's where we're at today, and that's where it was at there. Is everybody with me still? Now we bring ourselves up to verse 6. This is where we want to look here at verse 6 now. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I want us to remember that these things here, Paul's writing to Christians now, but can I tell you that these things that are listed, the fornication, uncleanness, all these things, can I tell you that chastisement comes from that just as well? That there is sexual sins in believers' lives? Are everybody listening to me? Can I tell you what has made sexual sins so handy today is the computer and the cell phone and all these things that are now so easily grasped, so easily there. You would be shocked probably if people would be honest, how many people in the church today, even in Mountain State Baptist Church, is hooked on pornography or what they would consider soft porn or risky pictures on their cell phone that they keep. Not just young people. Now, we've already told you in the past about all the tweets or twits or whatever you call them and the abbreviations and the sexual innuendos that is given and the vulgarity that is even in abbreviations and letters of what it all means that young people pass out. Remember, we give you the list. If you remember, we put it on the wall and went over them. And that is prevalent. And Paul's saying, this is what has to be worked on. We've got to stop this. And we've got to kill it off. And there's going to be consequences. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Verse 7. In the which he also walked some time when he lived in him. Can I tell you that not killing these things off, we become like we were. Do I understand it? We become with the same evil desires that we once had. And that new life is suppressed. Now, all things are become new. We get a brand new life. But we got to contend with this flesh. That's why we also, now, everybody listen carefully. We'll be hard on dress and we mentioned last week about the bikinis and things like that draws attention. But can I tell you that lies and cheating and gossip, all these other things are just as evil that we're going to look at here. All right. But Paul's telling us and he's showing us the seriousness. Is everybody still with me? In which time, in verse 7, in which time he also walked sometime when he lived in him. But we're not to be living that way no more, all right? And we see these sins are to be repented of, forsaken. But I'm afraid we've become where these things are normal today. And I looked over and are not even called sin. We call them natural things. All right? Well, that's just natural. I've had people tell me that. Well, now, you're too hard, preacher. That's just natural. Well, that may be true. That may be true. But I've got a new life. I got a new life in Christ, so it becomes abnormal now. All right? It becomes abnormal. Is everybody still with me? Now, look, let's pick up at verse 8. Now, let's keep in our mind now. Keep in our mind, we've got seek, set, mortify. Now, verse 8 says, but now ye also put off. Now, we're going to look at the put on and the put off. It's referring or got a reference or an analogy here to clothing. What we are, what we put on, what we put off. Now he tells us in Ephesians the same way to put on and put off. To take off and put on. Take off the old man. And he says here, but now ye also. Now this also, it's not just seek and set and mortify. Now also do this. Also put off. Put off what? Well, we're going to have to do. Now the Lord ain't going to do this for you. The Lord ain't going to do this. This is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to seek. We're going to have to seek those things which are above. We're going to have to set our affections on things above. We're going to have to mortify our members. All right? And we're going to have to, personally, we're going to have to put off these. But wait a minute. It says put off anger. Well, wait a minute. I got a freebie because Paul wrote to Ephesus and says, just be angry, don't sin with it. Well, he's telling Colossae to put off anger. You know why? Because you can't be angry and not sin. You really can't do it. You hold it in. See, this anger here is held in. Right? We say, well, I'm doing good because I ain't saying nothing. Yeah, but how many times do you kill me in your mind?
Yeah.
How many times do you slap me and never said a word? Huh? How many times do you tell me off, but all you did was smile? Huh? How many times? Does that ever happen? Does that ever happen? Do you ever bite your lip? Bite your tongue? It just says here to put it off. That's all I can tell you. It's what the Bible says. Put it off. And now he says here, put off the anger. That's anger held in. And then you better put off the wrath. That's when you let it out. All right? Anger you hold in. Wrath, you let it out. Well, we already know what problems that causes when we let it out. Huh? Did you know once you say it, once you do it, you can't take it back? You know, when you say, oh, I'm sorry, tough. Them words go forever. If they're spoken, they go forever. If the actions are done, they're done. Huh? Is that not true? I'm gonna show you a good thing. You know, we always remember the actions. But can I tell you, sometimes it's the reactions that we want to forget. Action is one thing, we got reactions too. Now that wrath is what we let out. All right? And then we see that malice there, verse 8, it says, put off these things, put off anger. And you say, well, wait a minute, I can't help it. I got a temper. Yeah, but you got a new life. Let's not live in the old life. Let's live with the new life. All right? I got a temper. I used to have a horrible temper. I used to throw fits like a baby dog. Huh? I did. I mean, I'm not proud of that, but I had to. And Cheryl Ann had a temper. And we got married and you put two tempers together. All right? Well, we had to come to an agreement that we was going to have to get shut of tempers or we was going to both be in jail for murder, if that would be possible. Huh? So you learn to put things off. Does everybody follow me? I know ain't none of y'all like it. Just me and Cheryl. I married the meanest woman in Nicholas County. She married the meanest one in Winona. I understand that. Notice I said a town and hers in the whole county. You noticed that, didn't you? Huh? Everybody noticed that? I know y'all ain't like it. But I'm going to go ahead and preach tomorrow. Mark, you need to put off your anger. You need to put off your wrath. You need to quit holding it in. You need to quit letting it out. All right? And then that malice is ill will or evil feelings toward one another. Put it off. Now, that ain't going to happen. It ain't got nothing to do with anybody else. You do it. You do it. You do it. If I got malice towards Cheryl, well, she's going, no, she can't take, I've got to put it off. She got to deal with her own. I got to deal with mine. Everybody follow me. It's what the Bible says. And then blasphemy. Now that blasphemy is more than just cussing God. That's critical speech which tears others down. The Bible tells us a lot about our conversation, and it be seasoned with salt, seasoned with grace, that we speak the right kind of words. And blasphemy will tear others apart. Are you hearing me? Critical speech which tears others down, and that's God or man. You know, my communication, now I want everybody to listen carefully. My communication, whether I'm talking to you or God, is still about God. Because I got a new life in Christ and He lives in me. And it's Christ in me, hope of glory. And I can't be ill towards you, because if I am, I'm ill toward Him. I can't set him aside. Lord, if you'll step elsewhere, I'm going to throw a fit here. I'm going to throw a hizzy. You go over and turn your back. It ain't like that. I'm going to bring the Lord out and I'm going to hold him in my arms and I'm going to throw a hizzy with the Lord. Everybody follow me? And you say, well, I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it by yourself. That's why you got Christ in you, hope of glory. That's why you're complete in Him. That's why He's already given you everything to live godly that you need. And me too. But we got to put it off. All right? That blasphemy, critical speech which tears others down, God or man, malicious gossip, whether it's true or not, you know. You know, we get by, well, it's true. That's true. What I said about them is true. Well, it may be, but shut up. Shut up. You can't say it. You quit thinking or slander. And then it goes on and goes further than that and then says filthy communication out of your mouth. That's foul speech, obscene language, off-collar jokes or cursing. Okay? You know, we do a lot of Christian cussing too. Don't we? I'm not going to repeat the words, but we do a lot of Christian cussing. Y'all know what Christian cussing is, don't you? Everybody look at me, talk to me. You know, when you say them words that ain't dirty, but they mean the same thing as that dirty word. Right. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Talk to me if you're following me.
Yes,
sir. See, there ain't no difference. Now, it don't even sound better. Okay? We'll say it again. It don't even sound better, but it's spelt different. Okay? Now, when all this takes place, we wonder why the power of the Holy Ghost, we dwindle in prayer power and worshiping, all this stuff. It diminishes because of these things that we ain't put off. All right, we're carrying it with us, and we got to put it off. Everybody understand? Off-collar jokes. We shouldn't be telling off-collar jokes. We shouldn't be telling racist jokes. We shouldn't be telling racist jokes. Whether they be black or Polish or blonde. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Huh? Because it's not becoming a Christian. Now, it might be good down at the tractor bar. You know, that's what they told me. You know, they was in the same business as I was in. That's what the tractor bar said. We're in the same business, preacher. I said, no, we got the same customers, but not in the same business. Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody still okay?
Yeah.
Now let's look at verse 9 and 10. It says, lie not one to another. Everybody look at me. Why would Paul write to a Christian and say, don't be lying? Why would Paul write that? Why would Paul tell a Christian, now don't be lying? Because they were lying. You know why? Because we lie. And you say, no, I don't. You just told us. See, lying and hypocrisy is the same thing. We okay? I got to laugh because it's wearing me out. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just guilty of all this. I don't know about y'all. I just got to get rid of some of these clothes I'm wearing.
Right?
I got to put it on. Lie not one to another. Don't lie. But it's more than that. Don't lie because we are a new creature. Don't be a hypocrite about it. We're not to say we're saved and live a life described like he's describing here. Are you understanding? Living a lie, a hypocrisy of the fornication, uncleanness, all these inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, all this, the anger and the wrath and the malice and blasphemy, and then say, and I'm glad I'm saved. It don't work like that. You might be glad you're saved, but my goodness, that don't tell them where to go to church at. Verse 9 says, seeing that you have put off the old man with these deeds. There's supposed to be a difference. Huh? Everybody with me? See, some things the Lord takes away from you. And some things you got to throw away yourself. Everybody understand that? When you get saved, some things the Lord takes plumb away. Listen, I've done seen people come to the altar. Remember where I'm from. I've been in church all my life. I've seen people kneel down at the altar and get saved with a fifth of liquor in their pocket, sticking out of the right pocket. Now, I know you may not have seen that, but I've seen it. I've seen them walk up an aisle weeping their way to the Lord, and when they bend down at the altar, a flight of whiskey, a fifth of liquor be in their back pocket when they kneel down. All right? And they threw it away when they got up. Okay? Some things the Lord takes away. Some things He wants you to throw away. Some things He wants me to throw away. Be okay with that? Everybody still with me? Verse 10 says, and have put on the new man. Not only have we put off the old man, but we put on the new man. See, we're separated from the world unto God. Everybody hear me? We're separated from the world, sanctified. Separated from the world unto God. We take off the old man, separated from the world, put on the new man, separated unto God. Everybody follow me? All right? And I put on the new man, verse 10. All right? We're created in His image. Now that's how serious this is. Everybody understand that? We step out to follow the Savior to live this new life, and we're not supposed to be the same. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. We are renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ. Yes. The Christ that lives in us. Yes. Christ in me. Hope of glory. Right. Okay? Christ who is my life. Yeah. Man, we got it there. Now look at verse 11. Verse 11, this shows us that there ain't no difference in none of us. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay? Think about that. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now remember, we can't do this on our own, but we don't have to. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4 says, according as His divine power. Now read that with me now. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look what the Lord gives us. We can. We are able to do what He said to do because of what He does in us. What He gives us. We can do it. But there's a part we've got to set apart. We've got to set our affections on things above. We've got to seek those things which are above. We've got to kill off these deeds, okay? We've got to mortify that. Then we've got to put off and we put on. All right? Everybody still with me there? Now, that's what we've looked at. Now we're going to look at the paper that I give you tonight. Look at the paper I give you tonight. We've got a few minutes here. Paper I give you tonight, and we'll look at verse 12. Now, when we think about 12 through 25, this Christian life is in fellowship with the body. Remember now, we're one body. We're one body. That's what we preach to you again Sunday night. Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one body. That we work to preserve, that we endeavor to preserve unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there is one body There's one body. That's us. Okay? Now, this preeminence of Christ is in my life. He's number one in my life for my relationship with Him. But it's also in my relationship with you and your relationship with me. That He is our life. Now remember, we're one body. Everybody remember, you can't get that. You got to have that in your mind. We're one body. Okay? We're all in this. If you're a believer, you're in this thing together. But not just in Mountain State. It don't matter where you are in the world. Whatever. If someone has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're part of the body of Christ. Whether they be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, I don't care what. It don't matter. That don't matter. It don't matter what part of the world they're in. All right? If they've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all part of the same body because we're baptized into one body by one Spirit, and that's Christ. Okay? Now, saying all that, we're going to look at verse 12. We've looked at verse 5, really 5 through 9 tells us what to put off. Now, starting verse 12, the first verses shows us what not to do. Now, these verses show us what to do. All right? Everybody with me? We mortify and put off. That's what we don't do them things. Now, these are the things we are to do. All right? And we put on as clothing. Let me ask you, are you wearing your Christian clothes today? Huh? We put church clothes on. How often have we used the term, when we get home on Sunday, I'm going to go take my church clothes off? Anybody ever say that? What all comes with it? What all comes with when we take our church clothes off? See, we don't wear our church clothes all week. See, we're casual on Wednesday. Do we have our church clothes on Wednesday? How about Monday? How many wear their church clothes on Monday? Well, I should be wearing my Christian clothes, shouldn't I? Huh? Should I wear that every day? Is everybody following me? So look at verse 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, which we are, holy and beloved. Huh? Everybody with me? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, that's your Christian clothes. That's not church clothes. Then Christian clothes. You got your Christian clothes on? Now undoubtedly you can put them on and take them off. Everybody hearing me? Undoubtedly we can put them on and take them off because he says to put these off and put these on. So undoubtedly they're interchangeable here. Everybody all right? So we're not talking about going to heaven. Now we're talking about being a Christian. Right. We're not talking about what's going to take me to glory. We're talking about what's going to make me like Christ. We're not talking about whether or not I'm going to miss hell. We're talking about where I'm going to help somebody else miss hell. Right. How about that? We okay? Well, let's dissect it. Mercies, the bowels. That was considered the seat of emotions in ancient times. And this is that bowels of mercies is an internal empathy. Now we know, do you know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Talk to me. Do you know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is you feel sorry for somebody. Empathy is you understand what they're going through because you did. You did the same thing. That's empathy. Sympathy is you feel sorry for them. You don't have a clue about anything. You just feel sorry for them. You might feel sorry because they look bad. You might feel sorry because they, where they live, what they drive, or might feel sorry, because they're just ugly or something. You might just feel sorry for them. But empathy is you're ugly and you know they're ugly too. Right? You know, that's empathy. Everybody understand that? All right. And these bowels of mercies, we're as Christians, I'm supposed to look at you with empathy, not sympathy. I'm not to feel sorry for you, because when I feel sorry for you, I will put myself up here. But if I look at you and deal with you in empathy, it's because I understand I ain't no better than you, and I'm going through the same thing you are. And I've been all these things just like you've been all these things. Everybody follow me? And I've had trouble with lying, I've had trouble with anger, I've had trouble with wrath, I've had trouble with malice, I've had trouble with blasphemy, I've had trouble lying, I've had trouble with all these. And because of that, I'm going to deal with you in empathy, not sympathy. Well, I feel sorry for you. No, I'm going to have empathy. He said, yeah, man, we in a bad shape, ain't we? Everybody follow me? And we're not going to, see, now this brings all the scriptures. Everybody follow me tonight? This is why it brings all the scripture together, not to esteem others better than, not just yourself better than others. That's why the scripture speaks about taking the low seat and not the high seat. We're talking about humility and real humility and these things. Everybody follow me? Now think about this. This internal empathy, mercy. Everybody understands mercy, don't they? Mercy, when we treat others with mercy, we hold back what they deserve. Huh? How many times we say, I'm going to give them what they deserve? Probably ought not. But you know karma. Oh, that ain't scripture. That's another lesson there. Everybody still follow me? Talk to me now. Heartfelt love, that mercy, the bowels of mercies, being kind to another, caring for others, bearing their burdens, valuing them above ourselves. Mercy always, listen to me, bowels of mercies will always hold back what is deserved in punishment. Being compassionate, focusing on the needs of others, not their faults. Who are we to say what anybody deserves? Who are we to say that? Somebody, there's something done, and they say, I hope they get what they deserve. Why would you wish that on anybody? Why would you wish on anybody getting what they deserve? They need bowels of mercies. We okay? Well, we probably ought to stop there. We can't handle kindness right now. It's because kindness is more than an action, it's a character. Everybody hear me? Kindness is more than an action. It's a character. It's a character trait. So let's quit tonight on bowels of mercies. Father, help us, because we can't do it. But boy, I'm glad we can with you. I'm glad you live in me. I'm glad you changed me, and I'm glad you're still changing me. Lord, help me to put off what I don't need. Help me to put on what I do. And may you get glory out of my life. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.